describes is that love thinks no evil. Which means it assumes when it doesn't know information, it assumes good things.
But do we do that?
We do just the opposite. So what we do is we actually show a lack of love. If we assume that we all love with the love of God, then how are we supposed to deal with the juicy tidbits that come our way?
Ooh, it's difficult, isn't it?
Let me ask you a question. What organ of the body do we use for gossip? What's that? Okay, starts in the mind. What's that? Mouth. A slippery thing, the tongue. Okay. But once it gets in there, it's kind of too late, isn't it? So how do we prevent that? Well, where does gossip begin?
Before we do it.
It begins with somebody else, right? And they usually communicate it to us. And we use our listening device. What's the organ for listening again? Remind me, how do we listen? Oh, you think ears. Well, we've had a lesson on this and you still haven't got it. The primary organ is the eye. So yes, the ears and the eyes really are affected by gossip. We listen, we see, and then we spring into action, and that's when the gossip comes, right? So I wonder if we could learn something today that will help us deal with before gossip, the eyes and the ears, and we'll talk about that later. But in our text today, see if you can pick up how the participants in the text use their eyes and their ears to allow gossip to destroy a good man, the Apostle Paul. What a good man the Apostle Paul was. A good guy. Great reputation, yet somehow he ends up coming back from his third missionary journey. We find our text today if you want to open it there. He comes back from his third missionary journey, highly successful. Loving people. People getting saved. He brings a pile of cash to the church of Jerusalem. Every way possible, you'd say he was a smashing success. Probably there was no one who could preach like Paul could preach. There's probably no one who knew the Word of God any better than Paul knew the Word of God. If you look at his credentials. Yet, there were some in Jerusalem because and with the use of gossip took down a good man. Oh, I pray that we can learn the lesson from this text so that we might not harm any good people. No one hurt anyone's reputation. God says it's horrible to him. He hates it. It's one of the things he hates. But look at the text. It says that he came, and after he went, and you remember they went to days of purification, and the 7 days were almost ended, and the Jews, which are of Asia, let's think, the Jews he's talking about, he's not about talking about Jewish Christians here, we're talking about people who are unsaved, Pastor, that doesn't apply to us. Well, why is there so much gossip in the church then?
Amen.
It's because we're acting like what? Unbelievers.
That's right.
Yeah, so it does apply. Let's go ahead and pay attention. We don't have a good excuse because we have the power of God to resist. The Jews, which were of Asia, when they did what? They read the next couple words. When they saw him, they used their eyes. In the temple, they did what? They stirred up all the people and they laid hands on him. Now, when it says laid hands on him, we think of, you know, just kind of, you know, Paul, can I talk to you for a moment? It's not that. They whacked him, okay? You can just, if you want it, you know, right there, if you don't mind, right on your page, you can put whack, if you want. And later on, in a text that, like the translation that Jeff read, they dragged him around, beat him, and their intent, as we find reading down to verse 31, was to do what to him? To kill him. Now, there's no way to soften that, okay? That's what their intent was. When they saw him in the temple, They immediately, because of something in them, they already didn't like him. And then they proposed a gossip session, and they said, well, what he's doing is he's going against everything we believe in. He's undermining our system. And he is trying to hurt us, so we're going to hurt him first. They saw him, they stirred up all the people, that means they told him some stuff, saying, crying, men of Israel, help, this is the man that teaches all people everywhere. Now, that's your first guess, it could be gossip. All people? Everywhere? Now, come on. Most of the times, when you hear that, when someone says, everybody is upset with this, well, no one told me. Don't y'all say that then? Well, Pastor, everyone thinks we ought to start passing the offering plate instead of leaving a box in the back. Well, did you take a poll? What's the numbers? I'd like to know. That's the start of gossip, you see. There may be some truth that some people, especially the person telling you this, may feel this way. But to say, all men everywhere, that is stretching the truth as much as you can possibly stretch it. And once you begin to stretch the truth, it is not elastic. It breaks. And so as soon as you put any kind of force on the truth to try to make it what you want it, you'll probably break it. And it turns into a lie. Against the people and the law in this place, and for them, he brought Greeks also into the temple. Wait a minute! Did he really? Well, he brought them in some men, but did he bring them into a place reserved only for Jews? Well, we don't read that anywhere. But he's stretching it, you see. Well, yeah, he brought them in. Did you see those guys? Yeah, I saw those guys. Yeah, he paid for them too. Yeah. And so you start hearing little truths and going too far. Look at verse, and have polluted this holy place. For they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus. Okay, now they're doing some recollection. Now, how many have a perfect memory in here? We've got a problem, right, with our memories. I don't know when it starts, but I can't, because I can't remember. But there is a place where we go from pretty decent memory to part-timers and then all-timers, right? It kind of goes that way. And we're probably all on that part-timers right now, right? Can't quite remember everything. Well, they were trying to recall, I'm pretty sure I saw Paul, and he was walking around with that guy Trophimus before. And then the story goes on as they tell it. I won't go through every little detail of it. But they supposed, it says in the King James. In other words, they kind of remember something. But then, since they don't remember it all, they just fill in the gaps. So they suppose that, oh, they must be talking about that Trophimus guy. Yeah, he's an Ephesian, he's a Gentile. I bet you he drug his sorry bones all the way into that temple to the Holy of Holies. Wow! Man, we started with something true. He's in a temple. Through all that? No wonder the people were upset. And you know, gossip upsets people. Because if it were really, really true, it wouldn't be bad. It's not true in this situation. And if it's really gossip, it's probably not true in your situation either. And look how it took the city. And all the city was moved. And the people ran together. And they took Paul and they drew him out or dragged him out of the temple. And forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, I'm so mad! That's what they're doing! They're mad! They are so mad that they want someone to die. Gossip can create an environment for such intense anger that destruction happens after that. Lots of destruction. Isn't it terrible to think that you might have lit that fire? You may have caused it. Oh, I didn't break anything. I didn't hurt nobody. I didn't drag him out of the temple. No, but you started it. And this is where it ended. Because you couldn't keep your mouth shut. And oh, how great a fire that tongue can light. Before long, it's a forest fire. And no one can stop sin. And what's amazing here, that God's mercy to Paul, because Paul should have died again here. I think the second time. Oh, he should have died again. But God's grace and God's plan for his life was not completed yet.
Yeah.
Look what happens. It says, who immediately took soldiers and said, oh, this captain heard about this uproar, and so the authorities finally come down and try to sort it out. It says, he took these centurions and soldiers, and he ran down to them, and when they saw the chief captain, the authority showed up. Uh-oh, we're going to be held accountable. They scattered like mice. That's the real version. They scattered like mice. Why? Because someone turned on the light.
Amen.
And in the shining of the light, gospels run. Because they don't want to stand and fight because they know they're not on solid ground.
Amen.
They'd rather go in the dark places and behind the backs and say the things that undermine people's lives.
Right.
But the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound and said, hey, who are you? What have you done? What's going on here? Trying to get the facts. Now, it would seem to me that that verse should have been a lot earlier when the man gets up in the temple and says, that Paul, he's doing all this. Someone would have said, well, who is he and what has he really done? Where's your proof? Show me some facts. That might be a good deterrent, you know, for gossip. How do you know? Might be a good question to ask. Well, I saw this and this. Really? When? What time of day was it? How far were you standing from them? Get the facts. After a while, you realize, well, I didn't really see them. Someone told me they saw them, and I'm pretty sure they did see them, because when they say that, they usually mean it. And they sometimes tell me wrong, but this time I don't believe it is. You're like, huh? You know, you're going to buy that and then tell me that? Make sure you have good information before you start gossiping. What are you doing? It's really sad. But he's trying to get to it. And it says, and as he asked this question, some cried one thing and then another. And the whole multitude, it says, he could not know, or as the version that Jeff read, he could not ascertain the truth. And you know why he wanted to ascertain the truth? Because he was doing the right thing.
Right.
You know how we can stay out of gossip? If you can't ascertain the truth, you better not pass it on as truth.
Amen.
Yeah. Oh, well, this guy's smart. Whoever this guy is, he's good. If we could just learn from him. He commanded Paul to be carried into the castle. When he was coming from the stairs, it says he was born in soldiers because of the violence of the people. The people still, no matter what, once they rear it up, they cannot. Once you've set a gossip to going, there is no going back and putting it in the box. You understand? Once you've ruined someone's reputation, it can go to court and it can be settled there and it can be established that gossip was wrong and that person's still ruined. Because you can't take that and put it back in the box. He's stained forever. So let me encourage you, before you let that happen, keep the gates shut, your teeth shut, until you ascertain the truth. And do things properly. It says here very clearly, verse 35, violence of the people. They were just out there. Verse 36, and the multitude of the people followed after crying, away with him! And that's a very violent word. In fact, you might remember those words when they said it about our Lord Jesus. Right? Away with him! Crucify him! Same tone, same exact thing going on. He's worthless! Kill him! They were wrong about Jesus, and they were wrong about Paul.
Amen.
And it all starts with gossip. As Paul was led to the captain, he said, can I talk to you a minute? He's like, can you speak Greek? I didn't think you could speak Greek. And Paul was like, yeah, I can speak Greek. I can do a lot of other things. Watch. You know, no, he didn't do that. But as he talked to the man said, well, I thought you were the Egyptian. He had already, even though he did a good thing earlier, he's already bought a little bit of the gospel because he's thinking, oh, you're the Egyptian. I heard that you're the Egyptian guy. And the Egyptian guy couldn't talk Greek, so you might not be the Egyptian guy. Good idea, you know, compare the facts. Make sure they're real facts. And he finds out he's not. Who was this Egyptian guy? Very quickly, the Egyptian guy was considered to be a political / cultic type leader. So they're thinking Paul's the same. This guy, the Egyptian, he got at least 4,000. Now, Josephus, who was writer of that day,
He embellishes it to 30,000. So, you know, Scripture says 4,000. I'll take that. Okay? So there were thousands of people he led astray. And he took them to the Mount of Olives. And he would teach them. And he told them that when I speak the word, the walls of Jerusalem will fall. That's pretty powerful words, right? And to the city of Jerusalem, the walls were very, very important. Okay, to every city of that day. So this guy is basically saying, I am the authority. And if I say so, I take the place. And when Rome heard about it, they rushed upon this thousands of people, and they killed most all of them, except, just like usual, the coward ran. And he was still loose. This Egyptian was running around. Now, because of gossip, and because that the world doesn't always understand who the church is, sometimes we could be accused of being cultic. We could be accused of being political. That's why I try to be real careful in my announcement about voting pro-life, because it's not a political issue to me. It's a biblical issue. It is a spiritual issue, and that's why I feel like we have the right to say that in church.
Amen.
You notice I didn't bring a voter list for you, but I could prepare you one later if you like. We're misunderstood. A lot of misinformation out there about us. Try to be a pastor in a community and try to find out how that goes. A lot of people think, well, you guys believe in it, and they say some far out thing. No. We believe in the Word of God.
Amen.
Oh, but you're just really a bunch of people that are anti. No. We're not anti anything. We're pro Jesus. We're life. We want to do things the way God is pleased with. We want to live righteous lives. We believe in salvation. Well, you believe in a narrow way. Well, yeah, but I believe that there is that way. And it's for everybody. Yeah, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. But he's also saying, come, and I will receive you. If any man will knock, I will come in and sup with him. Anyone.
Amen.
That's pretty broad, right?
Yeah.
I think it's open. We should be, and make sure we correct the gossip out there. Help people understand, no, it's not about the do's and don'ts in Scripture. We don't do that. It's about a person, and his name is Jesus. Can I tell you about him?
Amen.
And I pray that you would teach others and help, you know, disperse these lies, this gossip that the world wants to have about the church because they don't understand us. And they're somewhat prejudiced against us sometimes because they have experienced other things that made them distasteful of the church. Perhaps you as a believer could give testimony of something that happened in a church that really hurt your feelings. Perhaps another believer has done something that hurt you or gossiped against you. And you know, if it wasn't that you had this relationship with Jesus Christ, you may never go to church again. So don't be dismayed when the world has the same problem. Just bring them to the truth. Help them understand. Now, if that person did something wrong, they were wrong. But this is what is right. The Word of God. And trusting Jesus Christ. And Him alone. And His work on the cross. That's what's right. That's what we believe in. Paul could have easily stood up and I wonder if he had the notion to just give them a little early taste of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, I can almost hear Paul saying back to the man. 2 Corinthians 4, 5 says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. That's what the Christian message is. That's who I am. It's not that other stuff. And he goes on to say that his background, his pedigree, and when he had given him the license, Paul stood on the stairs, and when there was a great silence, he began to speak, and we'll talk about that next week. But he goes and defends himself, finally, after all this. Let me ask you, how would you define gossip? How do you define gossip? Throw out some things.
Backbiting.
What?
Spreading lies.
That's what?
Spreading lies.
Spreading lies. Okay, good. Thank you. Anybody else? Gossip. Of course, I looked it up. Dictionary.com.
Gossip is rumor, especially about the personal or private affairs of others. Things that are scandalous. We love scandal, don't we? The Bible, when it uses words for gossip, and some, and the King James, the word gossip's not in there, but the words hell-bearer, scandal-monger, are the words scandal. You get the picture, right? The whole idea is an upheaval of emotion to the point that it distorts an individual's private life. What a terrible thing. Gossip springs, I truly believe, from information that we take in through our eyes and our ears. And then we don't stop and evaluate the value of that information or the danger of it, and we spread it loose. I'd like to show you a video, and I'd like you to just kind of watch the video. It's humorous and sickening at the same time. And see how these people in the video use their eyes and ears to deal with gossip. This is a takeoff on Survivor. I don't know if you've ever seen it, the show. Make the volume up quick if you could. We can come up with all kinds of excuses, but we can see ourselves in that video, I think, too many times. We need to really be careful because it is dangerous. And we really hurt the name of Christ. We even hurt the people that Jesus Christ has died for. So we need to watch out what we're doing in that. I enjoyed that video a few times over this week, but every time it was indeed painful just to watch. But as we think about it, let's talk about then what it is that we can do about our eyes, or how our eyes perhaps don't always give us the right information. Here's a couple of pictures I'd like you to look at. Here's one. When you look at the picture, it's an optical illusion. It looks as though these stacks of things are like slanted, right? If you could take a little level, you'd find out they're level, each one of those. It's weird, isn't it? It's just the way they're made. Very, very strange. Because what happens is, if you'll see some of them have start a little bit less than the other ones, it's a perspective problem. Some of the lines about the first one and the last one are skinnier than the rest of them, and a lot of weird things are there. It looks like one side is skinny and it goes fat. They don't. They're the same exact all the way across. Let's go to the next picture. What do you see there? Anybody see anything besides a skull? What's that? You've already seen this, honey. You little rascal. Yeah, most of us would say we see a skull and that's all we can see out of it. And so many times in our lives, we get close to people and we see something in their life and we think we see the whole thing. And I'm here to tell you, we don't. And then when we jump both feet into it, we make a mess. Because what this really is, here one time, I don't know if you can see it now, but it's a lady in a nice dress. It's a lady, and she's talking to another lady. They're sitting there, and the moon's behind them, and having a nice time playing some kind of game or something. And did you see the lady yet? You can only see it. Her little hair is up there at the moon, and she has a, it's called a bun. Okay, there it is. You can kind of see it. Yeah, I mean, after a while, you'll get there. But I really think that too many of us jump into gossip because we think we've taken a cursory look at something, and oh, I got it all figured out. Slow down, back up. You probably don't have it all figured out. And you start giving advice about a skull when it's really a couple of ladies, you're probably not going to hit the mark with trying to give them the appropriate scripture that they need. And so many times Christians get a bad name because we got all the answers. The problem is, we have no idea what the questions are.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah. And so, sure, we got the answers. We can't match them. So we have to be careful. So let's talk about our eyes for a little bit. I can tell you some illustrations of church leadership, pastors, deacons, elders, Sunday school teachers who have misapplied scripture because they did not see what they thought they saw. And it hurt people. The congregants are people who go to churches, do the same thing. Christians do the same thing. We have to back up. We have to be careful. Our eyes will, what we see oftentimes is tainted or affected by three things. And I'll just go quickly through them. By our prejudice. We interpret what we see through our prejudices. We absolutely do. The biggest rebuke to me is as I come to a stop sign, I've shared that with you before. And if I'm at a stop sign in my fine truck, and then I'm very happy to have, but there's a nice sports car pulls up next to me. And I start to covet. But that's not the only sin I'm going to have. Next thing I have, I look over there, and it's a young black fella driving. What's the first thing that goes into my mind? How did he get that car? I want a car like that. How come he's got one? I still haven't done too bad a sin. But then I say, oh, he probably got it from selling drugs. And that's prejudice. Nothing short of it. It's ugly, nasty sin in the sight of God. It's wrong. We got to confess it and say it's wrong. But you know, that's what promotes a lot of gossip. We've already got it figured out. This person's no good. We're just looking for evidence. And as soon as it comes up, okay, gotcha. We're playing gotcha. I think it's the favorite game of Christians. Gotcha. It will build a cynicism in your life that will eat you up. It's very much like bitterness. You just can't believe anybody really loves the Lord because you don't love the Lord like you should, so nobody else can surely do it. That's pretty sad, isn't it? You have a prejudice. Let's move on. Your premonitions color what you see. Your premonitions. And the idea of a premonition is a feeling of anticipation or an anxiety about some future event. Okay? Your fears. Your fears color what you see. You see something, you go, oh no, the whole world's falling apart because of this. You sure you really saw that?
Well, I'm pretty sure.
I hope I didn't, but I'm going to go ahead and worry about it now anyway. And tell everybody else to worry about it.
Our fears color what we see.
And if we're afraid of what we see, maybe take a little closer look. Make sure it's really what we think.
It's kind of like the guy, in all those cartoons. And forgive me, I have watched way too many hours of cartoons in my childhood.
One of my favorite things about cartoons is when you get that little mouse, he comes around a corner and the light's shining just right and he looks huge. Looks more like an elephant. The shadow does. So the cat, gone, And then this little bitty mouse comes out. Old Cousin Herman. I don't know if you ever watched Cousin Herman. He comes out. Old Cousin Herman walks out. And he's just this little bitty nothing. And then that cat gets really embarrassed. And then he goes after it. But so many of us are like that. We see the shadows and we're just scared to death. Thirdly, and this is a new word for me, it's called perquisitance. It's like a prerequisite, but it doesn't have all those other letters. Yeah. And this is a word that means, it's kind of like rich people can grow these. It's the idea that they are owed something. It's an attitude. In fact, the definition goes something like this. A benefit expected because it's due. Something claimed as an exclusive right. And even though we may not be wealthy, we still, as Christians, sometimes think that we're due a certain bit of respect, a certain due of, I can share that because I'm concerned. Or I can do it. This is a prayer request. No, it's gossip. No Christian, pastor, anybody is privileged to gossip. Gossip is sin every time.
Amen.
And you don't have that right. Now, I truly believe this guy in our text today, when he drug Paul out and started to kill him, he thought it was his perquisite. Whatever. It's actually a word. I don't know how to say it. I had to read the little thing and then I forgot how to do it. Perquisites is what it is. Perquisites. Because it's okay, because this guy, he's pretty sure did something wrong and he'll go ahead and kill him and figure it out later. Wow. I mean, who has the right to do that? But he thought it was owed him because maybe he was holier than thou. And Christians can have a holier than thou attitude, right? Which means I got permission to do all kinds of things, but you can't. It's a pretty sad deal. These things affect our eyes, what we interpret, and it is gossip. Let's talk about now our ears. Our ears. Our ears can detect reports. And we should evaluate those. You remember the fellow when he started, the chief captain, he came and he said, "Now I want to know who this guy is, and what else? And what he's done." And he tried to get at the specific truth. He wanted to ascertain the truth. Let me encourage you that here are some red flags that you're not getting the truth. Or perhaps you better be real careful if you think you have the truth. The first clue is, first red flag I would say, is that it is, you get an inconsistent report. Inconsistent. And it takes this one person will say one thing, another person will say another thing. Oh, okay. Well, they're both bad. No. You need to get to the truth. If there's inconsistencies, root it out before you sure pass it on. I've heard gossip over the phone come to me that says this whole story as though it's true, and I ask a couple questions. Well, that's what Mary said, but Jane said, there's somewhere in between there. I'm like, that's not helpful. Why are you telling me anything then? I don't even know the truth. Inconsistencies point to the fact you don't know the truth. Pass it on. If your report is inconsistent, you shouldn't pass it on. Secondly, if it is not only inconsistent, but if it's inflammable. Inflammable. The definition for inflammable is easily ignited and capable of burning rapidly. Quickly or easily aroused to strong emotion, excitable to anger. If this bit of information that you received, you see it and you go, wow, this could really burn this down now. This could really destroy some people. This could really hurt someone. You know what? That might be a good red flag to say, whoa, I don't think I have that high enough rating to deal with this. This is above my gossip grade. But some people just throw that stuff around knowing well that when this hits, it's going to be powerful. Explosive. Let me encourage you, if it's inconsistent or if it's inflammable, stop, back up a little bit. There's one other one. If you find it to be inaccurate, Pastor, well, inconsistent means you got two different things. You don't know what is true. Inaccurate, when you know for a fact that a portion of that story is not right. If you know a portion is not right, then you have to accept the fact that the rest of it might not be right. So don't pass that on.
Amen.
It's the very principle by which I stand on the Word of God and don't apologize for one word of it. It's 100% accurate.
Amen.
That's why it's trustworthy.
Amen.
If it had any inaccuracies, then it would not be trustworthy.
Right.
So treat your gossip the same way. Look at it and say, hey, what is this? I can't pass it on. There's a big problem right here. This fact is not right. Perhaps the whole thing is just made up. The commander was surprised that Paul could speak Greek. He was surprised by a lot of facts as he started digging into it that Paul wasn't quite the guy that they were telling him out to be. But he still went on. Paul still got bound up. And we'll see the rest of the story. But how about in your life? What's going to happen now that you've heard this message? You've heard the Word of God. You know that gossip is not right. You know that when it comes into your eyes or comes to your ears, it's already faulty. Will you go ahead and speak it out? Will you let it go? Let me encourage you that you need to ask at least or use this little test. I call it the TNK test. First question you ask is this true? Is this true? And if you don't get a yes on that one, flush it. And you're done with that. Leave it alone. Secondly, even if it is true, say, is this necessary for me to know? Or for anyone else to know? Because it could be true, but it could be someone else's personal issues that needs to stay out of the private or into the public world. And then thirdly, is it kind? Is it kind? The Bible never says, speak the truth without love. It says very clearly, speak the truth in love. Because the only way truth is going to do any good is if there's love and compassion goes with it. That you're actually wanting to be part of the solution, not just talking about the problem. There's a bunch of other verses I threw there on your page on gossip. I encourage you, you could study all week, but you better be ready and get lots of band-aids because your toe is going to be blistered and you're going to be devastated if your heart is anywhere near open to the Lord because He hates gossip, yet we continue to do it. Is gossip really that bad? Yes, it is. Well, before we talk about how bad it is, I got just a minute. Look in the front of you, on the pew pocket in front of you. You see some papers there? Some do, some don't. Some may, some might not. But we're going to get a bunch of those made. I'm working on it. It's been my desire for years to do something like this. Because, you know, when you're tempted to say something bad about somebody, exchange that. Do something opposite. Just totally recognize, oh, okay, you know, this is a good prompter. I'm going to do something positive with my mouth, with my communication. Can you imagine if every one of us would just write one note every week? Just take one of these and write it out to someone in the church and say, you blessed my life this way. Or thank you for loaning me this. Or, you know what, when you sang that special, I was needing that. And God used you in my life. And just, we got all those boxes. You can put it in somebody's box, you know, the final last name is alphabetical, stick it in there. You don't even have to mail it. Would you think about that, maybe? Because I truly believe if we're busy having the right kind of communication, we don't have time for the other one. And it don't seem to make sense. As James says, you can't get salt water and fresh water out of the same creek. So let that fresh water flow. Let's ask about, is gossip really that bad? What do you think? It is so bad. It's so bad that Jewish rabbis forever have said that and hold to it, that it is exactly the same in God's sight as idolatry. That's one of the big things they like to talk about. It's gossip and idolatry, how they're the same. You think about that. You think God doesn't like idolatry? I guarantee you, read the stories of the Old Testament. Those statues fall and their heads break off. Why? Because God said, I'm not sharing my glory with anybody else. I think we kind of set ourselves up as God when we gossip. Out of idolatry, I would say. What else do we know that God really takes gossip seriously? Well, Paul listed it in Romans chapter 1 and verse 29. He listed a bunch of things, and here's that verse. It says, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. It's the people who turned their mind away from God, even though God put knowledge of them, and even had the beautiful creation. So they gave them to a reprobate mind. What does it look like? Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder is that purple one. Debate, deceit, malignancy, whisperers. That's gossip. Same text, he's putting gossip. Okay, you think gossip's not so bad? Find me one of those other ones that's not so bad. And then tell me all about how you did that this week. No, we won't gossip. We move on. It is so serious to God that one of the commandments, do you remember which one it is? That's right. Number 9. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Gossip! It's that important! There's only 10 commandments! This is 1/10 of them! Does he know what we have problems with? Absolutely. He has a laser sight on our weakness. And that's the 10 commandments. And this is one of them. Wow, is that serious? Proverbs chapter 6. God lists 7 things he hates. It says 6, and then he says, I want to include one more. Look what it says. A heart that divides. I skipped a little bit. That's what the 3 dots are. So you can read all 7 of them later. A heart that deceives wicked imaginations. That's kind of like gossip. Feet that are swift and running to mischief. That's kind of like gossip. A false witness that speaks lies. Definitely like gossip. And he that sows discord among the brethren. Hello, we're talking about gossip. God hates it. It's on his hate list. It's on his commandment list. Can we get the point? Do we understand? There is a high cost for low talk. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you, Lord.